Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian, and today we will be continuing with our study of Tehillim, Perek Ayin Ches 78. This is the next Perek in the series of Asaf songs. It's the second to longest Perek in Sefer Tehillim, and within this Perek is an exact midpoint of the entire Sefer Tehillim, which we will see shortly. This mizmor differs dramatically from the previous prakim, where the tone had ranged from sadness, despondency, anger. We saw lots of questions about why bad things happen, questions about the presence of God during suffering, questions of when the exile will end. Here in this parak, we have a crash course, sort of a review of Jewish history, that spans approximately 500 years from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, through the establishment of Beis David, of the House of David, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The tone is very different. Yet there is some continuity and a flow from the previous prakim. Because recall we had asked in the previous prakim, when would the Golus end? Why is there Golus to begin with? Why is there so much pain and suffering? Where is God's compassion? Now here, we turn to the events depicted in this mizmor with accounts of the plagues and Yetzias Mitzrayim and our being sustained in the Midbar, and we see that God indeed nurtured and cared for us with compassion. In addition, we had said that in response to Asaf's questions, many times he answered his own questions by looking inward, by realizing that challenges are there to change us, to shake us up, to engage, to facilitate our ability to engage in introspection. Well, here, this history lesson is presented to us by Asaf from the prism of the many mistakes that were made along the way by Am Yisrael as a way to implore us not to repeat the same mistakes. The Malbim views this entire parak as an acknowledgement of the primacy of Mamleches Beis David and the Davidic dynasty, which brought about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The highlight was the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The parak also singles out Shevet Ephraim, who according to the Medrash jumped the gun and attempted to leave Mitzrayim 30 years before the actual Exodus. In this mizmor, also they will... this will outrightly state Hashem's rejection of the tribe of Ephraim for their part in supporting Yeravam ben Nevat, who opposed the Davidic dynasty. We will see that the Mishkan of Shiloh, which was in Ephraim's Shevet, was destroyed. So let's begin to look at the entirety of the Perek as a whole and try to highlight a few of the Psukim in the short amount of time that we have. It is a very, very long Perek. Incidentally, when you look through the psukim, and I urge you to do that, you will notice that some of the events are presented out of chronological order. In addition, since it is only a summary of history, only certain events are highlighted. So the first pasuk, Maskil Asaf Ha'azina Ami Torasi, a song that speaks to our sense of seichel, maskil, something that appeals to our intellect, a song that should penetrate our minds. Listen, listen, my nation, to my Torah, or Torah si is my teaching. The word Torah comes from the word lahorot, to teach. And hatu aznechem le'imrei fi, bend your ears to the words of my mouth. This certainly has echoes to Shiras Hazinu. Hazinu ha-shamayim va-debera v'sishma ha-aretz imrei fi. Now, the Malbim tells us that it's important for us to look at history and understand that our history differs from the rest of the world and that the Jewish nation experiences divine providence, hashgacha pratis. And this in itself is the Torah. Ha'azina ami Torasi. This is, you know, looking at history, this indeed is representative of what the Torah is trying to teach us. And this is very uplifting because history matters. And when we look at history through the lens of Torah and divine providence, it gives us direction. Because looking back on the past provides us a path in which we lead our lives in the future. So the next few psukim Direct us, therefore, to tell those stories that we heard from our parents and great-grandparents, and it implores us to tell those same stories to our children so that these stories and traditions are passed down from generation to generation. And the Pasuk tells us, don't hold back. As the Pasuk Dalet 4 tells us, no lo nechached mibneihem ledar acharon misaprim tehilos Hashem. We should not hold back from telling our children and from repeating these stories, the greatness of Hashem. Why? If we skip to Pasuk 6, Vav, Lema'an yedu dar acharon banim yivaledu, yakumu visapru livnehem. So that the future generation will know the children that are to be born will in turn tell their children. And why is this message so important to pass on? Because in Pasuk Zion 7, Vayasimu be'elokim kislam, v'lo yishkachum alaleikel, because they are, by understanding the history and learning the history, we will be placing our trust in Hashem, and we will not forget u'mitzvosav yinsoro, and we will follow His commandments. This perek is all about developing faith, emuna, a steadfast belief in God despite the circumstances. And as Rav Hirsch says, it may seem utterly ridiculous to continue to believe in God amidst challenges. That's why he says the word kislam, we translate it as emuna, but perhaps it comes from the word kisil, and somebody who is devoid of any intellect or silly. So to believe in God on the outside seems like we are kselim, like we are being ridiculous. But this is what a believing Jew does, because he does not live for the moment, but he lives for the future, says Rav Hirsch. So even though things may seem ridiculous, and it may seem like we are kselim to continue to have faith in God, even amidst our challenges, this is how we develop our faith in God, by studying our history. So why do we speak about our history and learn about it? Why are we reading this parak? Why do we learn and study Torah to begin with? Because it's part of our toolbox. It gives us resources as we navigate the challenges of life. This parak is part of that toolbox. We should read it again, study it, extract meaning for our own personal circumstances. It's important to understand our history, as Pasuk Ches tells us, because we have to learn from the mistakes of our ancestors so that we do not repeat the mistakes of our ancestors. Dor lo hechin libo. The hearts of the nation were not prepared. They did not prepare their hearts to absorb the miracles and the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were not in control of their hearts. Their hearts controlled their actions. As Rav Hirsch reminds us, Lev tzadik birshuso, Rasha birshus libo. A righteous person controls his heart and desires, but a wicked person is controlled by his heart. We can witness miracles and events that clearly point to the hand of Hashem, but if our hearts are not trained to perceive Hashem, then miracles will not aid in our trust and faith in Him, as we have seen many times throughout history, the failings of the people despite open miracles. The parak goes on to recount Yitzias Mitzrayim, the miracles in the desert, and the people's complaints and rebellions within that span of time, despite Hashem's nurturing of Klal Yisrael. Now, the midpoint of the entire Sefer Tehillim is found within our parak in Pasuk Lamed Ches 38. V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis v'hirba l'hashiv apo. And He is merciful, He atones sins and does not completely destroy. And Hashem frequently withholds His anger. V'lo ya'ir kol chamaso, and He does not arouse His full fury. Despite the failings of Am Yisrael, Hashem showed mercy and held back His anger. This is in contrast to our previous prakim, which asked, where is Hashem's compassion? Here is one answer. This pasuk tells us that Hashem indeed does have rachamim. This pasuk is an echo to the 13 attributes of mercy, the Yod Gimel Midos HaRachamim. In fact, there are 13 words within this pasuk which are parallel to the Yod Gimel Midos, which we invoke as part of our supplication for forgiveness on Yom Kippur. It is part of Psukei Dezimra. It is a pasuk that we use during the Ma'ariv service, and it is a basic tenet of our faith that Hashem holds back his anger and indeed shows compassion. Why is that? Because we are all human with human frailties. Vayizkar ki basar hema ruach holech velo yashuv in pasuk lamites. Because Hashem knows that we are all flesh and blood. Our spirit goes and it doesn't return. We are not immortal. We all die at Meiva Esrim. And because of this, continues the Perek, despite Klal Yisrael sins and they're not remembering and appreciating all the miracles in Egypt, Hashem led them into the land of Israel. But once again, when in the land during the time of the Shoftim, there was strife and infighting, the Mishkan of Shiloh, which was in the portion of Shevet Ephraim, this Mishkan was destroyed because of the sins of the people. And Psukim, Samach Zion through the end, 67 through the end, speaks of Hashem's choices. Vayim as ba'ohel Yosef, ubeshevet Ephraim lo bachar. He rejected the tent of Yosef and the tribe of Ephraim he did not choose. This is referring to the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh, which was in the portion of Ephraim. However, yivchar es shevet Yehuda es har Tzion asher ahev. On the other hand, Hashem chose the tribe of Yehuda, which was on Har Tzion, that Hashem loved. And in Yehuda's Nachla, continues Asaf, Vayiven kamo ramim mikdasho, he built on high his mikdash, his temple, ke'eretz yisadol olam, like the earth, he established it forever. Vayivchar b'David avdo, and continuing to highlight Shevet Yehuda, Asaf continues, Hashem chose David, his servant, from all of the Shvatim to be the beginning of the royal line. Vayikachehu mimichlos tzon. He plucked him from the sheep pens. Me'achar alos hevio leros b'Yakov amo. From behind the nursing lambs he took him. And instead of being a shepherd to sheep, he became a shepherd to Yaakov, his nation. Leros b'Yakov amo. Ubi Yisrael nachlaso, and with Yisrael his portion. Yir'em kesom levavo, he tended them with purity of his heart. Ubisvunos kapav yanchem, and with the skill of his hands he led them. This last section speaks of Hashem's choices. We have the Makom HaBechira, the most choiced of locations, on Har Tzion, the Makom HaMikdash, which is in Yerushalayim, the city that was selected to house the Beis HaMikdash. We have the selection of the tribe of Yehuda as the tribe of kings, and we have the selection of David HaMelech as the beginning of the royal dynasty, the Davidic dynasty, leading to the ultimate redemption with the coming of Mashiach. And isn't this the question that we have been asking throughout Asaf's compositions? When will the final redemption occur? So now we are invoking David HaMelech, and we are referring to that final redemption. We are therefore contrasting the wayward actions of the people throughout history, as this parak enumerates, with the steadfast devotion of David HaMelech. David was anointed as king not because he had a goal of getting power. In fact, quite the opposite. He had humble beginnings. He was chosen and plucked from the sheep pens, mimichlos tzon. And as the Medrash illuminates, the attention and devotion that David the shepherd had to the small, insignificant sheep are the qualities that contributed to his ability to be an exemplary leader and shepherd of Klal Yisrael. And lest we think, when looking through this parak and all of the mistakes of the people, that there seemed to have been no hope. I mean, after all, we're still in Golus. But Asaf is highlighting David at the end of this perek, which is a perek of reminding us not to repeat the same mistakes that our ancestors did. And we mention David because David made mistakes as well. David as well had many challenges and missteps. Yet Hashem did not reject him. In fact, quite the opposite. David HaMelech is used as a model human being and a model leader. His songs of Tehillim that we are studying together today, most of which he composed and some that he organized or been put into a system, are used as an inspiration for us because David HaMelech is the model of a Baal Teshuvah. It is specifically David who teaches us how to achieve great heights when faced with personal and spiritual challenges. David HaMelech personifies the potential for the ultimate perfection, and with it the return of Mamleches Beis David with the coming of Mashiach. Thank you for studying together with the OU Women's Initiative, Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bas Chaim Leib.